الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic will be on Zina, Z-I-N-A. And under the umbrella of Zina, let me define what Zina is. First of all, it is an Islamic legal term referring to unlawful sexual intercourse. That's basically what the meaning is. It's a fairly good meaning of a definition of this particular word. Again, it is an Islamic legal term referring to unlawful sexual intercourse. Now, according to the Sharia, some of the things underneath the umbrella of zina, because sometimes a person may say zina, but then they may say fornication. They may say zina, then they may say adultery. But underneath this umbrella are several different things, and I'm going to just name a few of them. And one is adultery, and the other one is fornication. Prostitution, that's having sex outside of marriage with someone that more than likely you paid them for their services. Rape, sodomy, incest, all these are forms of zina and other types of things, but I won't get into right now, are all forms of zina. And why am I talking about this topic? I'm talking about this particular topic of zina with adultery, fornication, prostitution, and the like. It's because people getting married seems to be on the back burner. It's like, no, I'm not getting married. We're not getting married. We will live with each other for almost forever. We will buy a house. We will have children. And have the same bank account, but no, we will not get married. And this is in some cases, and this is not all cases. Now, Islamically, you should get married. If you're going to have a husband or a wife, a male with a female and a female with a male, then of course, you should get married to that individual. And if that individual is not married to someone else, of course. And so, yes, you should get married and not continue to commit adultery or fornicate with the individual or other different things that you're doing with that person. And as I said earlier, it's becoming more and more prevalent amongst the people is that getting married is not the thing to do. I'm not getting married. We're not going to have this piece of paper between us, because when we have this piece of paper and we sign on a dotted line, then things change. Yes, things, they do change. You're now married to that individual, and you're legally responsible for that individual. And so, yes, things will change. And you're having sexual intercourse with a person you're married to, and in the eyes of Allah, this is something that's a good thing. This is something that is welcome. This is something that's okay. You're not committing a sin if you're having sex with someone that you're married to. But if you're having sex with someone that you're not married to, you're committing a sin. I don't care what other excuses you make up or reason you make up for it or anything like that, you're committing a sin. How much you try to make the wrong right. The wrong is wrong, and that's it. Right is right. That's it. There's no in-between or anything like that. It's just that, those two, they have their place. Wrong have its place, and right has its place. And so I just wanted to mention that to my students. And so I want to just talk about, when you're talking about the thing about zina, and what does that mean, or how does Islam look at it? And these are just very, very small amount of ways that Islam looks at zina. Because there's other definitions, like I said to you sometime, is that when you're talking about Islam or a topic in Islam, a subject in Islam, then I'm only talking about the tip of the iceberg. I'm giving you very, very basic information about whatever the subject that I'm talking about. And we have a lot of books on Islam that you can get more information about Islam. We have Fiqh Islam, and that is explaining more explanation of Islam. You have also you have Tafsir, which is an explanation of the various ayahs or verses in the Quran. It gets into more deep detail about the verses from your text that you should have with you when you're having this class with me or attending this class with me. You have what is called Tafsir. You have the Quran in the Arabic. Then you have rough translations of it. And then you have what that particular ayat means, when that particular ayat was revealed, where it was revealed. So you have a lot of details that you can get from Tafsir. That's the explanation of Quran. And so I'm getting a little deep here. Let me come back over to where I'm supposed to be. And so the thing is, Abu Huraira, who was one of the Prophet's companions, and he had mentioned, the Prophet, may peace be upon him, he said, "There are three whom Allah," meaning the Almighty Sublime, will not speak to these individuals on the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment. Resurrection day is when the trumpet is blown, and we're all going to rise up and be naked and uncircumcised and stand before our Lord. And so on that day, there are three people that Allah will not speak with. That is an old man who commits adultery, a poor man who is arrogant, and an imam, meaning a religious leader, who tells lies. And so these are three people that Allah will not speak with on that particular day. And we certainly want Allah to speak with us. We all want Allah to shield us from everyone else, and then to ask us various questions that Allah already knows the answer. And then we will go through, as I mentioned, maybe a few episodes, where we confess the things that we did. All the sins that we've done, we confess to Allah, yes, I did this, yes, I did that. But Allah already knows these things. And then either Allah will forgive you, or He will go ahead and put the punishment upon you for the sins that you or I committed. And so again, Imam, I-M-A-M, is basically the religious leader of the Muslims. They have different roles that they play. They may lead, the Imam may be the one that lead the prayer. You have some places where Imam just leads the whole community. He's the leader of the community. I guess similar to a preacher or a minister or a rabbi of various other faith. I don't know the names of various other faith of their leaders. So you have this leadership position of an imam. And so this is a person that Allah will not speak with. It's one that lies. It's very important. This person is the leader. He is the person that we trust is going to lead us properly. is it was mentioned also that the people, for example, that commit their different sins, they'll be in the grave. And then, for example, the leader would be in the grave with them. And receive punishment in the grave, or receive punishment from Allah, the people and also the leader. I hope I didn't confuse you too much with that one. And so the people look at the imam or the leader and say, well, you're here, like, in the hell with me, so you should tell us not to do this thing or that thing. So basically, why are you here with us? We did this or that thing. We know what we did. We went against what you advised us to do and committed the various sins. And so why are you here with us? And then the leader would say, basically, I warned you to do things, and I turned out and I turned around and did those same things that I warned you about. So this is a type of person, an example, Mithal, an example of a person who is in leader position, an imam, but the individual lies and doesn't tell the people the truth. He tell the people one thing and do another thing. Or he misguides the people in a direction in which that is not good. And so he's going to have to be accountable for that, for those words that he said to them. Because the imam is the shepherd of his flock, of the people who follow him. And of course, the husband is the shepherd of his family, and his wife is the shepherd of the household. And so that's basically how it goes. But I'm gonna move on, because I want to just stay on topic. Also, it was mentioned by the prophet, again, Abu Huraira. He reported that, as the prophet saying, Allah fixed a portion of adultery which a man will indulge in. There will be no escape from it. The adultery of the eye is the lustful look, and adultery of the ears is listening to, like, songs or talk that is not appropriate to listen to. And adultery of the tongue is also that bad speech that you're saying, kind of lustful kind of speech. And adultery of the hand is a lustful grabbing or embracing someone that you should not be embracing. And adultery, and also the adultery of the feet, is to walk to a place where he intends to commit adultery. And the heart yearns and desire which he may or may not put into effect. So we may feel it in our heart, but we don't want to do that thing. And so the thing is, you had to control what you're looking at. Because for us as Muslims, we're supposed to lower our gaze. And so you may talk to a Muslim, male or female, and they may not look directly at you. Some people may think, well, boy, they don't look at you, then they must be lying. Or they not be, don't trust that person who's not going to look you in the eye. Okay, then I guess you just won't trust me. I'm supposed to be as humble as possible and lower my glance. And also, the Muslim women, the same thing, should lower their glance. And we have to be careful of what we hear, what we're listening to, what we're saying with our tongues, what we're grabbing with our arms or our hand or embracing, because they all can be forms of adultery. And I mentioned to you all before is that on the day of judgment or Yom HaQiyamah, Allah will ask our body to speak. It's easy for Allah to speak. Ask our ears, what did we hear? Our eyes, what we saw? Our mouth, what we said? Our hands, what we did with it? Our feet, where we walked to? So, and then they would speak on their own with no guidance from us at all. It would speak on our own, what we did and what we said and what we do. And it could be for us or it could be against us. So we do all the good things that we can with our body parts, because either they're going to testify against us or testify for us. All the things I'm saying to you now, and I'm saying to you on this particular episode, All this is going to come back at me. My tongue is going to testify, yes, he said so-and-so on such and such a day to his students. So it's going to testify and not either for me on that day or against me. And so be very, very careful of what you look at and what you say and where you walk and what you do with your body parts or with your hands. So be very careful of that, my students, because it could be good for you or it could be very, very bad for you. So I'm just giving you a heads up and a warning of it, and you may ignore it. That's up to you. If I'm brought before my Lord to testify against you, I'm going to testify against you. Allah asked me, did you tell him such and such about eyes and ears and mouth, that kind of thing? I'm going to say, yes, Allah, I did tell them so-and-so, warned them about adultery of the eyes and the ears and the mouth and the hands and the feet. I warned them about those things, Allah. Did they heed my warning? You know best if they heed my warning or not, Allah. And that's it. But I don't have to testify at all for or against you, because your body parts are going to testify for or against you. And that's it. You can't hide anything from Allah. No matter what you say or where you go or what you do, you think you're creeping around? Allah sees what you're doing. It's written down in your book what you're doing and where you've been and how you treated people. And did you commit adultery or fornication or rape somebody or all those things I mentioned to you earlier underneath the umbrella of zina? Did you commit zina? And so let me move on, my beautiful students. And that is also Abu Huraira. Again, he mentioned that the Prophet reported by saying, Allah affixed the very portion of adultery which a man will indulge in. There will be no escape from it. The adultery of the eye is the lustful look. And adultery of the ears is listening to the songs I mentioned earlier. And adultery of the tongue, of course, as I mentioned to you earlier, is the speech. All the way to the end that I mentioned to you all earlier, I just want to reemphasize, it's very important, emphasize to you that your body parts are going to speak for or against you. Whatever you did last night, and you did with your, in terms of zina, your body parts are going to speak for or against you unless you ask Allah's forgiveness. And Allah is most merciful, most forgiving. He's a very merciful, merciful Lord. You can commit sins over and over again, and Allah is forgiven. Allah will forgive you if you're sincere in doing it. And it won't be over and over again, because you did it, you felt bad about it, and then you asked for forgiveness from Allah and pertaining to it. And you try your best, to the best of your ability, not to do that same thing again. You have to also go back to your Lord and ask again, and you might be ashamed, Allah, I'm here again, and I'm asking for your forgiveness for the wrong that I've done. Oh Allah, please forgive me for the wrong that I done. And you don't want to suffer in this world or the next world for any adultery or zina that you committed. So you're in control of things now, and then you will not be in control of things later on. So take care of things now while you have control over these things. It's also mentioned again by Abu Huraira. He said that I heard the messenger of Allah, may peace and blessing upon him, saying, he who accuses his slave of zina will receive the punishment of slander on the day of resurrection, unless the accusation of zina was true. So in other words, we have to be very careful that we don't say so-and-so committed zina, so-and-so committed adultery, so-and-so committed fornication, so-and-so raped this individual. And so we have to be very careful of that, because we don't want to be ones that will be considered slandering this particular individual or backbiting this particular individual. So we have to be very, very careful, my beautiful students. I won't really get into a lot of the Sharia or the Hudud or the punishment itself, but I'm just going to talk a little bit about it. Is that the Muslim and that inshallah what they should be doing is that if they see someone doing something, commit adultery or fornicate, then they have to have witnesses. Four people basically had to see this individual committing adultery or fornication or zina. Four witnesses had to be, the reliable witness had to see that. It's very difficult to have four people see it unless they're doing a rape, all these people raping this one individual. And then, of course, those people who are either participated or they saw it, okay, that'll be the four witnesses. But more than likely, having four witnesses is going to be hard to do. Or unless a person goes and says, I committed adultery, I had sex with this woman last night. And then, for example, the people may go to that woman and say, did so-and-so have sex with you? You both are not married to each other. Did he have sex with you? And the woman may say, no, we didn't do that. And then the man says, we did. And so that man may receive the punishment. Or it could be vice versa, where the woman says, he did it. And then the man said, I didn't do it. And so the woman would be punished for it. And then the man would not be punished for it. And there's another hadith where it talks about where a man, he came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he said, I committed adultery, I fornicated, zina. And then his Prophet turned away from him, and then the man, I think if I understand in the story, the man went around towards where the Prophet was looking, and he said the same thing again, I committed zina. He turned away again. The man also went to that side of where he was looking and said, I committed zina. I think the man did it four times. And then I think one time the Prophet asked, well, are you crazy? Why were you confessing such a thing? And so he had the man, the Hudud, was bestowed H-A-D-D, or sometimes spelled H-U-D-D, Hudud, and so, or had, the punishment upon a person for what they did, 100 lashes, 50 lashes, something like that, whatever it was that individual received. And Islamically, is that really when you punish a person, you should have other people seeing it so that message be out there that what this person did was wrong. So you have witnesses to the person being punished, and maybe it'll help other people not to do the same thing. And people may say that, oh, this sounds barbaric, it's wrong, all these kind of things that people go say about punishment. But then again, most society, they punish wrongdoers. Either they put them in jail, either they execute them, firing squad, hang people, cut their heads off. Look at history. Man been doing this for a long time, of punishing individuals that do crimes. So don't just look at Islam and say, ooh, these people are wrong. Look what they're doing. And y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Because a lot of times when Islam does something, it's like wrong. But when other people do something, then it's okay, it's right. They make excuses for it. And so that kind of thing. And so you all know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you anything new, like earth shaking. I'm just telling you what it is. And you're in this class to learn about Islam, what Islam is and what Islam is not. And I'm going to the best of my ability, tell the truth about what it is, what Islam is, and what Islam is not. That's what I'm going to try to do to the best of my ability. And some people may accept it, and some people may reject it, but that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to convince you to accept anything or reject anything. I'm just basing everything I present to you from Quran and coming from the saying of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be blessed be upon him, and perhaps some things from the scholar. But I mostly talk from the authentic, basic foundation of information from Islam or about Islam, from the two sources of Sharia, of Islamic law, which is Quran and the Hadith, or the saying of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessed be upon him. Not what I feel, not what I think. I'm trying my best not to do that. And so now I get off that soapbox and get back to our lesson. And it's also mentioned or narrated by Ibn Abbas, who is one of the Prophet's companions. He said, "The Messenger of Allah said, no one who commits zina is a believer at the moment when he's committing zina. And no one who drinks wine is a believer at the moment when he is drinking it. And no thief is a believer at the moment when he is stealing. And no killer is a believer at the moment he is killing." So I want you all to also be clear about that. This is very serious. When a person committing zina, they're not a believer. They're not from the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessing be upon them. When they drink alcohol, and I talked about this in one of our earlier classes about consumption of alcohol intoxicants, they're not a believer. Or if a person stealing, they're at that point when they're stealing, they're not a believer. And a person who is killing is not a believer at the moment they are killing. So there's a lot of times where we are put a step outside of our Islam when we do certain things, and I mentioned to you, which is zina, which is drinking, which is stealing and killing. It puts us outside. Our faith leaves us, and I mentioned to you before, it's like a canopy over us while we're hovering over us while we're committing this, whatever act it may be. Killing someone, committing adultery with someone, drinking wine with someone, all these things are all things or times where our Islam or our faith leaves us away from us while we're doing these things. And so I just wanted to mention that to my beautiful students, how serious it is when you're talking about one who commits zina and is not a believer, and one who is stealing is not a believer, and one who's killing is not a believer, or one who is drinking alcohol and not a believer during the time they are doing these things. And I want to mention this last one, and that is, a man came to the Prophet, may peace be upon him, and made announcement before him that he had committed fornication with a woman whom he named. The Messenger, may peace be upon him, sent someone to the woman, and he asked about it. She denied that she committed fornication, so he gave him the prescribed punishment of lashes and left her, as I mentioned before. And that is my proof, is that the man said he did it with the so-and-so woman. She said, nope, I didn't do it. And then so the man received the lashes and left the woman alone. And the same thing, if a woman said, I did it with so-and-so man, and then he said, I didn't do it, no way, not me, he would not be lashed, and the woman will be lashed because of her doing what she did, which is having sex outside of marriage. And so, my beautiful students, please take in mind what I'm saying. Stay away from fornication and adultery and zina. You can stop that now. Anything you've done already, ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah forgive you if your sins are as high as a mountain or as much as the earth, big as the earth. It doesn't matter. Like the foam on the ocean, Allah forgive you. Just ask, be sincere and ask Allah for forgiveness and seek repentance from Allah. You have been attending the Islamic Faith Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.